I'm encouraged here this morning. As you know, I go with a lot of churches when I'm home, especially. COVID has slowed it down. But there are so many churches and Christians today that, boy, they're just out of gas. There's no other way you can put it. They're just simply out of gas. Their tanks are empty. And what I'm trying to encourage people is to don't go on the battery car yet. Go where there's a tank more often. You need to fill up quite often, and you're not going to be able to do that only at the church building. So I'm happy to see you here. I like the energy I feel this morning. And that's not some kind of ESP. Maybe it's because of the youth, younger people. I'm almost supposed to say young adults led the service today. You have energy. You sing with enthusiasm. And you even sing as if you believe the words to those songs. Isn't that an amazing concept? You know, you believe what you're singing. I had a man tell me one time, I think maybe what helps is you seem to believe what you're preaching. I won't tell you I do. I wouldn't be preaching that. So today, with your permission, I want to preach a message entitled, as some of you have been asked me. So what do we do now? Well, what we're going to do right now is we're going to ask God to lead us. So let's pray. Father, as we bow before you this morning, what an awesome privilege it is to be called Christian, to be able to gather in a room like this. God, there is no challenges between the people of whether or not to wear masks, whether or not we could shake hands. God, I've already got to have several hugs that I was desperate for across the land. And Lord, we believe that your Spirit has brought us here today because you have some things you want to say to us. Lord, our hearts are open. My heart is open. I want to simply be a channel of flow for what you have to say to these people seated in this room this morning. We don't have a tier system. Oh, God, some of us are preachers and pastors and elders and leaders and deacons and playing instruments and singing, mowing the yards, cleaning the building. God, whatever it is, we lay it at the foot of the cross today and say thank you for giving us an opportunity to be your servants. Thank you for what you're going to do coming out of this pandemic thing that we've been in now for about 17 months. We believe there's some glorious horizons ahead of us. We're going to ask you to keep sustaining us to get us there. We want to see what you do when you're at work with a group of people who say, Lord, lead us. And we're asking you, what do we do now? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you'll follow along with me today, I'm only going to use one scripture verse, very familiar verse at that, because I think it speaks to where we are today. And that is in James chapter 4. Verse 13 through 15, and then I'll address the emphasis of 16 and 17 along with it. Verse 13 says, look here now, you who say, today or tomorrow we are going to a certain town and we'll stay there a year. We'll do business there and we'll make a profit. How do you know what your life will be like tomorrow? Your life is like the morning fog. It's here a little while and then it's gone. What you ought to say is, if the Lord wants us to, we will live and do this or that. Now, this was actually written in somewhere between 65 and 85 A.D. But it could have very well been written, if you look at those words, it could have very well been written March 1st, 2020. When he says, look here, you who say, today or tomorrow, we're going to a certain town and we're going to stay there a year. We're going to do business there and we're going to make a profit. Now, everybody was thinking generally like that, March 1st of 2020. And then the wheels fell off. And we began to see what was going through all the plans that churches had, all the plans that people had. They all began to get stirred up and turned upside down, and confusion set in. Today or tomorrow, there is nothing wrong with making plans, because the New Testament has a verse that says that you need to first decide what you're going to do before you start into it, lest you get part of the way through, you're building your new house or whatever, and you run out of money. You didn't think it through well enough. You just walked off with an impulse, and you reacted and started. And so there's nothing, he's not talking about, don't plan. He's not saying that. Don't give any thought about what you're going to do tomorrow. I don't farm anymore. But God raised me in a farming community enough that I right now know that agriculture needs God to be merciful and gracious and give some rain, or otherwise we're in trouble. You know, when people seed their crops in the spring, today or tomorrow, and then we're going to watch it grow, we're going to harvest, we're going to pay our bills, we hope to have a little left over. But we're right back to this verse right here, that the people who say today or tomorrow we're going to do this or that, it's going to depend on God's interaction in it. And I think all of us who are, you know, there's not very many old people here, and I include myself in that, because I'll be 75 in September, so I'm pretty old anyway. And I've had a lot of crashes and collapses in my life already. Things that I thought, this is the way we're going to do it. Here are our plans. We planned for Vacation Bible School last year. And then all of a sudden, bam, there is not going to be any Bible school. There's not going to be any shaking hands. There's not going to be any hugs. Now, some of you, and don't raise your hand if you did, some of you just went ahead and hugged anyway. Some of you went ahead and shook hands anyway. Some of you did whatever you wanted to. I did too. But my water was to try to be sensitive to what God was saying to me. Not necessarily what DK would like to have done, but I tried to be sensitive to what God wanted me to do. We're going to stay there a year. We'll do business, and we'll make a profit. And then verse 14 says, how do you know? How do you know what your life will be like tomorrow? I think all of us in the last year and a half, we've watched some people that were very close to us who now stepped out of our lives. They've moved on to wherever they're going to be. I don't know if you've ever listened to or heard or read. I think you probably have. It's called The Train Ride. I want to just pick it right quick if I can here. All right, here's what he says. Uh-oh, I may not be able to get into your system. All right, that's okay. But we've had those that I've been involved with. The most recent memorial service that I did was for a man who had trucked all of his life. In fact, the first time I met him in Cochrane, he was visiting his mother, who's now 94. He was 75 when this happened. But he was as alert and looked like he was 60 years old. Got up one morning, loaded a load of lumber on a truck that he was pulling for a company. He was down between Lethbridge and Fort McLeod and going down the highway at highway speed, a loaded gravel truck. Pulled out in front of him from a merged road into his lane at a slow speed, thinking that he would pull over. But when he looked, the witness said, when he looked and started to pull over to the next lane, he couldn't because there was a car full of people there. So he made the choice to pull back and smack right into the back of that gravel truck. The lumber came off, threw the cab, took off the cab, caught on fire, took his life instantly. He got up that morning with a plan of what I'm going to do this day. And by that night, what is your life? How do you know what your life will be like tomorrow? Yanni, help me. Was it last year or year before that your mom and dad were traveling? Last year. Because I remember singing here at the memorial service. You know, you get up and everything's good. And that day, bang, you get the words, you have no dad anymore on earth. He's dead. What is your life? What is mine? We think, oh, DK, those are scare tactics. No, they're not. They're reality reports. That's just the way it is. What is my life? He says your life is like the morning fog. Jerry and Rose used to live on the river, and we live close to there now, and it's always amazing when that fog comes up off that river, and it'll fill it to where it's just level. Man, it just looks like a big bowl of whipped cream or something out there, and it'll even come up over the top, and then as the sun comes out and maybe the wind blows a little, it begins to go back, and it disappears. Your life is like a fog. My life is like a fog. You're a part of history right now. But that song, yesterday's gone, sweet Jesus, and tomorrow may never be mine. So, Lord, for thy sake, teach me to take one day at a time. And that's where we are. But here we have where it says, you don't even know what your life will be like tomorrow. Your life's like the morning fog. It's here a little while, and then it's gone. And we might say, well, surely you could bring a more cheery message than that. COVID has taught us how unpredictable society is. I think we do not even know how bad our country is currently in debt. We don't know that yet. We know it's in tough shape when you know that our prime minister spent somewhere, I don't know, 10, 12, 14 million building some new mansions, some new houses, and now the news has broken that they are definitely separated, way completely apart with husband and wife. But so all the new buildings and all the new houses and all of your taxpayer money poured into it didn't do the job, did it? But we're the ones that will work with it. It's here a little while, and then it's gone. People say to me, you know, how long have you been married? You've heard me say that. But when Brenda and I got married, I was 18 and she was 16. Boy, we look back on that, and it is like a fog. It's over here. You know, Brenda has aged during that time, but not nearly as much as I have. I tell one of my brothers, not this one, but one of them has almost no gray hair, just brown almost. So he was talking about, well, he said to me, so DK, why do you have so much white hair? In fact, he asked me first. He said, what do they put on your driver's license? And I said, gray. He said, well, it's not gray. They lied. It's white. And then he starts talking to me. I said, well, here's the reason that I tell you this. Because when you're farming, the bigger the farm, the less stress and pressures you have. So you have no stress. You get into the ministry, your hair will go white too. But some of yours has gone white anyway. And Lawrence, let me interrupt my thought when I look at you. I want you to know we are praying for you in Florence. When you married that many years, and all of a sudden, Florence is in one place and you're in another, we want you to know we love you. God bless you. Let me just throw this in. I called Lawrence the morning of his sale. And I said, Lawrence, of all the decisions, there was a time that you were one of the biggest farmers in the country. You had a farm big enough that it took an entire Hutterite colony to buy it. And then you went from there to an acreage. And now you sold your acreage. And now you sold your last trailer full of stuff. And now your wife's in one place and you're in another. And I asked Lawrence this question. Lawrence, of all the decisions that you ever made in your life, what was the major decision, the biggest important, the most important decision that you ever made? You know what he said without even thinking? He said, the day I gave my life to Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And then I went ahead and said, so what do you want to be remembered by? How do you want to be remembered? As the big farmer that built the first elevator out there and all that. And again, instantly, he said, I want to be remembered for whatever I did for the Lord Jesus Christ. What is life? What is life? Life is an opportunity for you and me to pay forward in the name of Jesus Christ. It is so great to hear that you were working at a camp just this last week. May God bless you, multiply your kind, and grant you many years with a growing heart for Him all the time. What is life? What is it to you? Is it an opportunity to play and have fun and to work hard and go to bed and get up and shave and shower? At least some of you don't during the week. I've seen some of you. You look pretty rough. It's a wonder your wife even stays with you. But that has nothing to do with the message. But what is life? What is life? Life is something that's here for such a little while. And oh, you see people, they're building and they're buying and they're investing. They absolutely think they're going to live here forever. You see people, and don't take this wrong if you're one of them. If you're a jogger or an exercise addict, which you can tell I'm not, I want to tell you that I've got some surprising news for you. Your life is also like a fog. You're also someday going to check out. And you're going to be in the realms of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then notice verse 15. So the first one shows that life is uncertain. The 14 shows it's extremely brief. So then the best plan, what you ought to say is, if the Lord wants us to, we will live and do this or that. I don't even know how to say the name of this little town. I think it's like Litton or Lighton or something like that. Isn't that amazing? The morning those folks got up, and by the end of day, what do they say, 95% or something of the entire town was burned. So that didn't affect one family. That infected families, and it affected a whole town. It affected a county. It affected the world, if they have any ability to grasp and comprehend that life is a fog. And when you get up during the day, you don't know how your day will end. Some of you can vouch for that right here. You got up and you had a plan and you had a dream for that day. And then you went in and the doctor told you you've got cancer. Man, I remember when they took those two little malignant tumors from me last fall. It's a wake-up call. What is life? Guys, don't waste your life fighting the wind. Oh, I love that song. I refuse to waste my life. What is life? It's a gift from God. Oh, you can have stress and strain. You can have without. You can lose it. I don't know what tomorrow will be, and neither do you. But what we ought to say is, Lord, what do we do now? What do we do now? What happened in the last 16, 17 months? It's happened. And the question for Cornerstone is to say now, God, what do you want us to do? The number one issue is to come together, draw together in a prayer time with agendas that are not set by individuals. Our leaders, elders, deacons, a pastor, a traditional pastor, anybody else, we best come back and say, what is life? It's an opportunity to go before God and say, Lord, what do you want us to do? Is that not what he says? He says clearly, what you ought to say is, if the Lord wants us to, we will live and do this or that. Just over here, how many of you know we're ground birch? British Columbia is. Well, I had a dear friend. Man, I got a phone call from her dad. He was on his way from down by Rimby driving there. They got up in the morning. They were just talking together. He was sitting on the bed, went to the washroom, came and sat back down. He and his wife were talking. And he said, I'm having a difficult time breathing. Well, she has asthma and all kinds of other stuff. So she said to him, the best thing to do is don't panic. Just take some slow, deep breaths. And when she told him don't panic, he fell off the bed, face first, dead in the floor. 36 years old. So why don't we consider today seriously saying, Lord, what do you want me to do? what do you want us to do, and what do you want Cornerstone to do? I can assure you, God is not ready. He does not have the desire to write Ichabod over the door. You know what that means? If you paint Ichabod over the door of the church building, you know what that means? The glory of God has departed. There is no place. There's no room left out there for that sign. So if you're going by some dump, throw it in there. And if you're mentally thinking that, let me tell you a victory way to handle that kind of stuff. Go to the toilet and get your hand up close to the flusher. Now you bring all this stuff to your brain. We're going to write Ichabod. We're going to give up. We're going to throw in the towel. And then you push the flusher and you watch it circle and go down. All right, you walk out with a brand new brain. Now we're going to say, God, what do you want us to do? Where do you want us to go from here? Because if you can get on his agenda, on his path, we'll come out of this and we'll go forward, and our best days are on top of the mountains. We'll see what God is wanting to do. What I'm saying to you, in essence, at some point, I want to recommend to you, you may already have it planned, you need to plan a time of coming together. There's not going to be a bunch of preaching. There's not going to be anything. There's going to be praying and talking, listening. Talking to God, listening to God. Talking to God, listening to God. Talking, listening to the other people. Talking, listening to God. Talking, listening to the other people. And when you come together, you'll come together as elders, deacons, worship team leaders, Sunday school teachers, custodians, everybody that makes up this church. You're going to come together and you're going to say, God, what do you want us to do? But you know what you're going to start with first? And I'm going to ask you to start doing this. Tonight, when you go home and you're ready to go to bed, I'm asking God to remember, help you to remember, refresh your thinking. When you lay your head on the pillow, you're going to say, Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you want to say to me? Because my answer is going to be yes. See, it's not enough to hear what God has to say. Maybe you're the answer. Maybe I'm the answer. So we're going to say, when we lay our head down on the pillow, you close your eyes. You're going to pray it out loud. You're going to pray it silently. Lord, what do you want me to do? When you wake up tomorrow morning, I'm asking God to help condition our minds to wake up and say, God, what do you want me to do? Because he said here, what you ought to say is the Lord wants us to do, wants us to, we'll live and do this or that. Lord, what do you want me to do? I don't want to waste my life. And boy, you can fight the wind. You can make the choices. You can wear yourself out. You can use up all of your resources. And when you come and stand before the Lord God, he's going to say, you didn't ask me what I wanted you to do. That's what we got to do, guys. We were going to begin in individual lives. We're going to begin in our homes. Even as you're praying, sometimes maybe God will bring it to your mind. Dad, granddad, when you're sitting at the table, this is not a part of my message, but God brought it to my mind. Boy, we need a world today where people see the dads and the granddads holding the Bible and reading the Bible and hear them praying. We're desperate right now for Christian men in the world. If it were not for the women in our churches, most of them would implode. They'd collapse and fall in. Men, what a shame that is, right? So we're going to ask God, God, what do you want me to do in my home? What do you want me to do in my career? What do you want Cornerstone to do? And my answer is going to be yes, which that means there may be some of you sitting here today or others that will come in later as the summer wears on and people begin to come back from vacations. It may very well be that God has some gifts in you that you're sitting on. you got to say, I'm willing, Lord. What do you want me to do? You may not be the best at anything. I'm not. I don't have to be the best. I just have to be the best I can be through the power of the Holy Spirit. So what are you going to do? What is this life? It's a time for us to glorify and honor and praise the Lord Jesus Christ. Worship team, come prepared to lead us. And I won't tell you, even the battery wouldn't have lasted that long, right? Let's pray. Our Father and our God, we bow before you today. Oh, and we recognize the brevity of life. We recognize the uncertainty of this life. And Lord, we're asking you today, what do we do now? We can't change what's happening, but we can influence by your Spirit and your leadership. Lord, be with this worship. Thank you for the songs you put in their mind and then dripped it into their hearts today and let them express it through their mouth, because you touch our hearts through your word, through song. Oh God, help me, help none of us to think more highly of ourselves than we ought to. Because what is man? We're just a created being called to be your servants, knowing that life is brief and uncertain. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.